Joining us now, Senior Advocate Kapil Sibal, who was in the Supreme Court in connection with this case. Thanks, Mr. Sibal, very much for being with us. Now, in the context of the case yesterday, the Supreme Court ruled against you, but between having to stick to procedure by letting the case remain in lower courts or rule in the name of freedom, hasn't the Supreme Court actually done something that benefits countless under trials in our country?
Well, absolutely, without any doubt. And I think that we welcome what Justice Chandrachud said in court. The problem, however, is that that when two judges sitting together speak, they speak for the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. The question is whether all judges in the Supreme Court will speak with that voice, that one voice, that all of them will protect freedom of citizens when matters come to them. The record of the court in this regard has been somewhat shaky. Just recently, I appeared in a matter for a Kerala journalist who went to Hathras to cover the incident. And he is languishing in jail. And the Allahabad High Court hasn't granted him bail. We filed a 32 petition. And the Supreme Court didn't sort of grant him bail. I have no quarrel with that. But the question is that if the court really embraces the concept of liberty and feels strongly about it, then the liberty of millions and thousands of citizens is at stake. You have the case of young students of Jamia, of young students protesting against the CAA during the Delhi protests. Cases have been filed against them.
Sure.
What about their liberty?
Mr. Sibal,
what about the liberty of JNU students against whom UAPA has been slapped? What about their liberty?
Right.
What about the liberty of Tel Tumle? What about the liberty of Stan? What about the liberty of Varavara Rao? What about the liberty of, you know, other people who have been involved?
No, absolutely. And Mr. Sibal, I was going to come to that in a moment, but I'm just trying to understand, and it must be very challenging for you. On the one hand, you were in court yesterday where you felt that in the case of Arnab Goswami, the procedure needed to be followed. There was a process on in the lower courts and that the Supreme Court didn't necessarily need to rule in the manner in which they did. However, you've raised the case of Varavara Rao, you've raised the case of that Kerala journalist as well, where we are talking about freedom and the need for these cases to be taken up by the court. So how do you reconcile, you know, your position in court yesterday and what you are saying here on this program?
No, I'm not reconciling. The court has to reconcile their position. The court has to speak with one voice. I remember when I moved for Mr. Chidambaram.
Yes.
At a time when the Supreme Court was not on vacation. Remember, in this particular matter, Supreme Court was on vacation and the matter was taken up the following day. I have no quarrel with that. But the fact of the matter is I remember moving for Chidambaram before he was arrested and seeking anticipatory bail. And for 2 days, we tried to get his matter listed and the registry would not list it. So is Chidambaram's freedom less important than Arnab Goswami's? That's the question that we have to answer.
So
why was this case not listed? Why was this case not listed when the court was not even on holiday, not on vacation?
So, and that
I have no quarrel with Arnab Goswami's case being listed. But the question is that you have to deal with citizens with an equal hand. And that's the question that concerns us today. I'm happy for the Supreme Court granting bail to people. But then that should be done in the context of a policy framework. I mean, people against whom charge sheets are filed. Let me take a political case. Let me take Lalu's case. Now, Lalu's case cannot be heard for years. His first appeal has been admitted. The case is yet to be heard on merits. How many years has he been jailed? Charge sheets have been filed in every case. He's been convicted. He's an appeal. The appeal cannot be heard. Normally, and I can tell you, this is the, you know, I'm talking about precedent. When criminal appeals cannot be heard, even those who are convicted are released on bail. Because that, you know, it's the first appeal. Why has Lalu been languishing in jail?
Okay.
And when we came to the Supreme Court rejected it.
Right. So, sir,
So when these are very, very serious issues.
Right. No, so, Mr. Sibal, let me jump in. When the president of the Supreme Court Bar Association said that thousands of citizens remain in jails, this is stating a fact, languishing for long periods, we have the dates, the numbers. These cases, many of them are listed over weeks, sometimes months, sometimes not. Do you believe, and this is the key question here, do you believe listing the case involving Arnab Goswami and the others on an instant basis was correct?
Well, first of all, see, being a lawyer for the state of Maharashtra, I don't want to comment on these matters. But remember, I was the first person to raise the issue of the discretion with the master of the roster.
Yes.
If you remember,
during the impeachment proceedings,
if you remember that, I am the one who raised it at the outset. The master of the roster decides when a particular case is to be listed, whether it's to be listed overnight or not listed at all. And that's an administrative order. It's not a judicial order. And there is no appeal against that order. So the master of the roster decides that, okay, if it comes to Arnab Goswami, the matter would be listed tomorrow. I have no quarrel with that. The master of the roster decides that when it comes to Chidambaram, it will not be listed. I have problems with that.
Okay.
And that's the issue. This, there is no procedural basis which gives confidence to the litigant and confidence to lawyers that their matters will be heard with equal speed.
Okay. Mr. Sibal, there are those who say that no matter how serious the charges are, for example, under the Unlawful Activities Prevention Act, people who are infirm, people who are old, people like Varavara Rao, people like Father Stan, they need to be allowed out. However, there are on bail, the case continues, of course, there are those who say an offense linked to terrorism and belonging to a terrorist organization, which is what these individuals, among others, have been accused of, is serious and enough for them to remain behind bars.
I understand that. So what is right and wrong in this? There are two issues that need to be addressed. I believe, and I think that that's the belief of a lot of my colleagues, that the investigating agencies in this government are doing the bidding of this government. The CBI, how many times has the CBI failed in giving confidence to the people? But look at the number of the charges of corruption that have been leveled at the highest level of the CBI. And we know that those who protest against the government, the CBI goes after them, and selectively,
right,
depending on who is protesting.
Right.
Now, if it comes to a government person, even a minister, who makes certain statements, and you know who I'm talking about, during the course of the Delhi protest, he is not proceeded against. And young students who are protesting, UAPA is slapped against them. Now, I want to ask another question, and I think the nation needs to ask these questions time and again. Do you really think that Stan or Varavara Rao at that age can be a threat to the security of our government?
Yeah.
The security of the state?
In fact, there was, Indira Jaisingh was arguing for Varavara Rao today, and I think it's important to repeat what she said in court, and she said, he's bedridden, he is on diapers, he can't control urination, he is with a urine bag, his catheter has not been removed. Is this man going to flee away from justice? It's a question of common sense. At the end of the day, the law is common sense, isn't it?
It's not even about fleeing away. Are they threats to the security of the state? Are they terrorists? That's the more fundamental question. Are they seditionists? Are these young people sedition? Remember, the Supreme Court itself has laid down the law on sedition. The law is, if you have a slogan against the government, if you protest against the government, use language against the government, even language which is not acceptable, that itself doesn't amount to sedition under 124A of the Penal Code. What you need to do is an overt act, an act in an attempt, a conspiracy of collecting arms to overthrow a government. Do you think young students of JNU, young students of Jamia, protesters, civil rights activists are collecting arms to overthrow this government?
Right.
I mean, this is a joke.
Right.
This is not a serious dialogue that we are having. This is just persecution.
Sure.
Let me ask you another question. This Indira Jaisingh, who is a colleague of mine, right? She is being proceeded against. Why? Because she is appearing in every case against the government.
Yeah. No, and so therefore...
Tista Setalwad. So I'm talking about these investigating agencies who have slapped, UAPA against people. This is only to ensure that this government, the dissent in this government, is throttled.
All right.
And that these voices are silenced. That's the issue. And if the court is concerned about liberty, it should really be concerned about the rights of all these people.
Okay, fair enough, Mr. Sibal. I think I'm running short on time, but I think what Justice Chandrachud said is a good way of ending. If we don't interfere in this case today, we will walk on a path of destruction. The question is, will courts across this country listen to this? Or will this be applied only on a selective basis? I think that's something that remains unanswered.
No. It's not just that. Will the Supreme Court speak with one voice is the more fundamental question.
Yeah. All right. So thanks very much for being with us. Thanks very much indeed.